Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to the Grave Consequences Podcast, a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. I am Caleb B., and that's where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow Greg at XMaserati. Follow the show at GC_cast. Follow the main account at Social Suplex on Twitter. As always, you know, search for the Grave Consequences Podcast or Social Suplex Podcast Network wherever you download your podcast. And if you use Apple Podcasts, like I do, please go and rate, review, subscribe. Give us those 5 stars if you think we deserve it. If not, give us less. That's, you know, whatever.
No, I got to jump in here. Don't give us less. Give us more. Give us 6 goddamn stars because we are a 6-star podcast. You know, it's true. We break the Meltzer scale. Just give us our due.
Yeah. Well, you see, here's the thing is that, like, Greg... 8-star man, me, 4-star man, that averages out to 5 stars. We are 5-star men.
We will break out the Steiner math.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, you know, when you take your Ricky and Clives, and they're not even going to try, so whatever. Hey, the recording date is April 5th, 2021. The Braves got swept this weekend, and I got vaccinated.
And, everyone seems to be getting vaccinated but me, but thankfully it opens up for me in my state on the 18th.
Yeah.
Apparently Maryland was very strict about who can get it. It seems like other states are just opening it up.
Yeah. At this point in Oklahoma, anyone over the age of 16 can get the vaccine.
Oh, no. For where I'm at, it's still controlled by your occupation. Mm. Like, you know, and if you're elderly or, you know... So I'm hoping to hold out for a little bit because I think we've had 2 Social Suplex members at least that have had it.
Yeah. We're not going to divulge that information because we don't want to violate HIPAA, even though I think they've come out publicly and said they had it, but whatever.
Yeah, they're fine with me saying, well, I haven't said their names, but that's probably fine, right? Probably don't need to edit that out.
Yeah, it's no big deal, dude. They're not going to care. They're over it, so I don't think they would care.
It's like a stigma. It's like the Scarlet Letter where, where everyone wants to burn them at the stake because they're witches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, apparently it's not enough to get a vaccine. You have to get the right vaccine because, like, I got kind of lightly scolded because I got the Johnson & Johnson.
What's wrong with that one? It had good results, didn't it?
Well, it's got a slightly lower efficacy rating than Moderna or Pfizer, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I was looking them up, the 3, and Moderna was the only one I was hesitant on because I've never heard of them, but Johnson & Johnson's the one shot done, though, right? Like, there's only one.
Yes, Johnson & Johnson is the only one and done. That's the one I got, so no more shots for your boy.
Dude, I was looking up the side effects, and they're pretty much all, like, kind of the same.
Mm. Am I going to be sterile?
You weren't already?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah.
That's what they'll tell me if it turns out I am sterile. They're like, well, you were sterile before.
What if they say, like, what COVID vaccine? That's what we were sterilizing you.
Oh, boy. We just turned off a good base of our listeners, I'm sure. But today, folks, we are here to review Season 1, Episode 33 of Lucha Underground. The title is Death versus the Dragon. Let me ask, did you come up with an alternate title this week?
Let me check my notes, because I don't think I did, because it's, you know, it fit. It's not even about changing it every time. It's just sometimes their titles are just meh.
Yeah.
Death versus the Dragon. I don't think I wrote anything down. I think I was good with that. Yeah.
How about Death versus the Shit Dragon?
Ooh. The Dragon, the Shit Dragon.
Yes.
We can do that. Or should we say the
Septic
Septic Dragon, or
Death versus Drago de whatever shit is in Spanish.
Drago de
Poopy.
Pinche. I know Pinche is bad.
That'll work.
Because I know, because I was called that by a girl I worked with. And I was like, is that good or bad? She's like, it's bad. I'm like, oh, cool.
All right. So I guess we can, start off with the show now. So again, Los Rayobacks play us in again. And before the first match of the night can start, Stryker and Vamp, they introduce us to the first announced match for Lucha Underground, confirmed match for Lucha, or for Ultima Lucha. Johnny Mundo versus Alberto El Patron. That is confirmed for Ultima Lucha. What are your thoughts, man?
I, without spoiling anything, I'm not excited for the match just because of what happens afterwards. But I'm curious, because there's been some surprises along the way, and I think you'll agree with me, like people we hated before that were kind of like Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
We're all about Hernandez. I think I've changed my tune about Johnny Mundo in the first season. Like, he's amazing. Prince Puma is less amazing. So I'm curious if this match is going to be good, because Patron had that meh match against Tejano, but I think that was mainly Tejano being involved. But then he had a really good match with, was it Hernandez?
I believe so, yeah.
And he's going to be going against Johnny Mundo, who's not had a bad match that I can recall. So it could be a good match. But don't get your hopes up about more involving those two.
Exactly. Well, non-spoiler. Alberto is only in the first season. So, yeah.
Do we remember why he wasn't in the second season? Was it just because he went to WWE, or was it?
Yeah, he signed the deal with WWE in 2015. That's when he came back and beat John Cena in his re-debut.
Yeah, he had that weak finisher where he super kicks you when you're on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's in concept, it's a cool finisher, but it just never looked impressive.
That thrust kick.
Yeah, I love, and I don't know if this is a secret, but if you've been listening to the show, I love kicks. I loved Test's Yakuza kick. I don't know, you remember Test? He would just run across the ring and just big boot you.
Oh, yeah. His big boot was awesome.
Yeah. I love Nakamura's knee strike. Kinshasa, I believe it's called.
Yes.
I love super kicks. I do. Super kick parties, I'm all about. I like strikes. But for some reason, the way Alberto does it, it just looks weak. It looks pacified almost, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. So, after that announcement, Sexy Star is in the ring for the first match of the show. Superfly makes his way to the ring, and we cut to a interview by Vampiro to Superfly. Vampiro, he says, like, hey, what, like, you came back and you attacked Sexy Star. Why didn't you attack Penta? He broke your arm. And Superfly, with the classic generic heel response of, I don't have to explain myself.
This interview was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Vampiro is right. Superfly's motivation is weak.
I just want to say, and I don't care who it offends, Superfly, with how he's booked, and, you know, the character he is portraying is a little cuck bitch.
Yeah, there's nothing really. He's only getting go away heat.
Yes.
Like, I don't want him to get. I don't want to see him get beat up by anybody. I think as a wrestler, the guy Superfly is probably doing the best he can with what he's given.
Yes.
Because he's not really a main guy on Lucha Underground.
And no.
I think I'll give him credit too. Well, I am going to give him credit for losing his mask because they didn't really give him any fanfare with it. And it is such a big deal over there.
Yeah.
That he's a good sport. And I wish there was a better way to say it, but he really deserves a lot of credit for doing this for Lucha Underground because they don't really repay him for it. And he gets no fanfare. I don't know. Is he a big name in AAA or in Mexico?
Not that I'm aware of, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, if he's even a mid-carder, like he's kind of gave up a lot, I think, to do this for Lucha Underground. So I think he's doing the best what he's given, and I give him props for, being a good sport and like doing this for Lucha Underground hadn't made a name for itself yet. So he, credit to him for doing it, but unfortunately the reasons and for his character and the psychology is just not there.
Mm-hmm. He also said he wanted Sexy Star to get her arm broken, and it would have happened if not for you, Vampiro, and your little dog. Vamp said, like, yeah, she took your mask, but like, what'd you want her to do? He's like, well, she could have left the ring in the temple. It's like, dude.
I think she would have had to unmask too, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. See, like, so what? You don't even like, she shouldn't have even competed just because you're a 10 ply soft little bitch. Is that it?
It was just, and I think this kind of buried him a little bit inadvertently because, like, some of the best heel work is when it makes sense. Like we've said before, I've said that Mundo's not a heel yet. he has some justification for the way he's acting. He thinks he's better than Puma. He's been better than Puma, right?
Mm-hmm. He actually beat him in the debut episode, so yeah.
He beat Alberto Patron. Like he was a dick to Johnny.
He didn't lose, or pardon me, he did not beat El Patron. He lost to him.
I'm saying that his motivation for doing what he did to Patron is justified. Patron's a dick.
Yeah.
He's an asshole. Like he's
absolutely
they like him there, but he's kind of a dick. I don't blame Johnny Mundo. He's a good heel. Like,
yeah, there's no kind of about it. Like Berto is definitely a dick for sure.
The best heels have some. Even Daivari has a better heel motivation, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and Vampiro, he said like, hey, don't worry about me, worry about yourself. Oh man. Here's what I wrote down for the Sexy Star versus Superfly match, and feel free to add. I didn't take a lot of notes down. I wrote down, Fly is a little bitch, but he got the win after a shit ton of head trauma. Superfly earns a no one likes you chant.
I didn't catch that, but it's true.
That was at the very end.
I can tell you, these are my notes. I don't know if you noticed, but Superfly was wearing gray tights that had a sweat stain where his butt crack was.
I did not know that. No.
It looked like he shit his pants the entire match because he was sweating and it just went down there. It was a boring match because there was no real heat between what he was doing. Like he was doing like what he should do, not letting the face get any momentum, just constantly stopping them with lame strikes, stomping on them.
Corbin style.
Very. It was the kind of thing you do until the face gets the hot tag, gets all the momentum and starts coming back. But it just wasn't very entertaining. It was kind of like constant buildup. It's like listening to a techno song that's just, you're waiting for it to kind of pick up and then it's over and you're like, wait, that's the whole song?
Like, Skrillex never had a bass drop.
Exactly. And it doesn't make sense that he gets a clean win over Sexy. When Penta, what's that? You broke up a little bit.
Sorry, because Pentagon didn't.
Exactly. I mean, are we saying that Superfly is better in Pentagon?
Apparently.
See, this whole thing was, I just wrote down, it's a mistake. Like,
I agree.
This was stupid. If anything, like, I remembered Sexy winning. You shouldn't have Superfly win easier than Pentagon did. That's terrible.
Absolutely, I agree. So that's the first match of the night. After that, we had a vignette for Drago. So Drago was doing nunchuckery in the sun. That's what I wrote down.
Well, that's pretty much what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. And also, this vignette did a good job of showing just how scaly the outfit is. It's something I never really, you know, not that didn't notice, but, you know, just didn't really, I guess I didn't notice, you know?
You know what would have been great is if someone spliced in footage from the first Ninja Turtles movie where Michelangelo's like, ah, fellow chucker, hi, and he starts doing the competitive nunchucking with the other foot soldier, but put Drago in that position.
I love it. I love it. Oh, great stuff. Great stuff. Oh, my God. Let's see here. Pentagon comes out. This is supposed to be a five-way match, by the way. Pentagon comes out to the ring. Vampiro won't say shit about him. Pentagon, as he's in the ring, chooses, of course, to scare Melissa Santos because that's the kind of guy he is. Pentagon grabs a mic. He says, you know, I want to destroy the guy who took away the greatest sacrifice I was going to make. I want to destroy Vampiro. Vampiro looks, he looks ready to fight, man. They're outside the ring, you know, face to face, that sort of thing. And Vampiro does what I wrote down is the Juggalo version of taking the straps down when he unbuttons his shirt.
Yeah, the people were cheering for it, and I was like, he's just unbuttoning his shirt. It's not, and he's just got, and he's out of shape. You know, I don't know what's exciting about this.
Oh, man. Like, me right now, I may be in better shape than Vampiro was at this time.
Well, he was not in good shape. It's good that he got in better shape. It's good for him because it's healthier for him. But I don't know. I didn't watch WCW back when I didn't really watch WCW. Not because it was terrible. It just wasn't my thing at the time. I was a WWE guy. And I got into it in 1998. But, you know, I just don't know who's the person that was rooting, that wanted a Vampiro comeback with Vampiro looking the way he does in Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't look like Vampiro.
Sorry to break kayfab for a second. Is that air conditioner too loud?
You're good.
Good.
Just stop breaking up like a bitch.
Yeah, I will do that. Hold on one second here. You can take down a timestamp if you need to, brother.
I don't need to. I'm a professional.
There we go. I had to disconnect from my car Bluetooth. Okay, let's see here. Pentagon essentially cuts a promo, you know, saying like, hey, I don't want a freaking Aztec medallion. And he essentially recuses himself from the match. Way to get over your medallion.
Yeah, he's a one-track mind guy. Mm-hmm. He only wants the one thing. But in his defense, does he even know what the medallions do?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Let's see here. Yeah, no one knows what they do right now. That's fair enough, dude. So, anyway, the next four guys who are going to be in this match, it's now a Fatal 4-Way, by the way, come out to the ring. We've got this Fatal 4-Way consisting of Star and Marty the Moth and the Mac and Cage. So, what do you think of this match, man?
You broke up a little bit, but I think you said Aerostar in the beginning. I'll be honest, it wasn't a bad match, but I just was having trouble focusing on it because of the placement it was on the card, and it kind of had like kind of almost an indie-rific type of vibe where they just threw a bunch of guys in there and said, hey, have a good match with spots.
Yeah.
But there are some notes I took. One is that they let the Mac really take it to Cage. Like, it was a big man war. Like, Cage has been dominant in Lucha.
Absolutely.
But they had Cage really bringing it to him. They had Mac really bringing it to Cage. And Cage was selling for him pretty well. Like, they were making it clear that Cage is, or that Mac is, you know, not just some mid-carder. He's going to bring it to Cage. Also, there's a point where Marty is thrown to the outside, and he's cowering on Melissa Santos.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, that'll come into play later. I wrote down Aerostar is a diving machine. He actually spent a few times where he was diving too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think he got caught with a few moves. I think Cage caught him because he springboarded and ran across the ropes, and Cage just picked him up. And as should happen when you're just, you know, I think we talked about this on one of the previous episodes where some moves have a lot of setup and it's like, yeah, that's cool. I think it was the fireman carry into the kick move.
Yep.
Some things, yeah, they look cool and they're flashy, but you know, you gotta keep it a little realistic. So they did that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, did you notice that at one point Marty dives to the outside? He does his little flutter, and then he does, in the three syllable Eli Drake style, says Aztec Pride.
He does, yes, and he almost busted his face too.
Mm-hmm.
On that dive. Marty's good. Keep an eye. If you never watched it before, I don't know where he's at right now. Marty's good.
I think I could be wrong, but I believe he is connected to the Nightmare Factory in some form or fashion because I have a buddy who's actually rooming with him right now.
Really?
Swear to God.
Is he doing good? I hope he's doing good because I like Marty.
From what I hear, yeah, he's doing pretty good.
That's good. I mean, I'd like to see him wrestle.
I would, too. I think he'd be a good asset for really any federation at this point in time.
Imagine him, you know, I know you're not watching AEW as much as everyone else, but yeah. Are you familiar with Luther's group with Serpico or Serpentino?
Him and Serpentico.
Serpentico. I said Serpico. But imagine if Marty was to take over that faction.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. That wouldn't be awful.
This is an idea. But, yeah. Oh,
did you notice Cage curling Aerostar multiple times?
Yes, as he should.
Yes.
He's not a man, he's a machine. He could do that.
Yeah.
That reminded me of a match I went to a live WWE show. This is when Austin was doing the what, and he would check his invisible watch on his hand.
Yeah.
You remember that? Well, there was a match. It was a house show, and it was a match between Stone Cold and The Undertaker. I might be mixing this up with a pay-per-view match, so correct me if I'm wrong, because there's a few that blend together. But he gets into a tie-up of Actually, I think it was a pay-per-view match. He gets into a tie-up with The Undertaker, and Undertaker keeps pushing him off. So he starts doing push-ups in the ring, gets into another tie-up, and then throws Undertaker into the ropes. I love stupid shit like that, bro.
That's funny, dude. That's funny. Oh, at one point, by the way, this wasn't anything really noteworthy, in my opinion. Just, you know, if you know the details and whatnot. But at one point, Cage is powdering on the outside, and he's literally right next to Melissa Santos. And maybe that's where their love was born.
It's where mine was.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, now they have a whole-ass child together.
Wait, did you say Cage or Marty?
Cage.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yes, no, Marty the Moth did not knock up Melissa Santos.
No, but Cage and I think Cage and Melissa are married, right?
I think so, but I don't know.
Or is it a Austin Aries promise ring situation?
I would like to think everyone learned from Austin Aries and was like, yeah, if I'm in my 30s, maybe I don't give my girlfriend a promise ring.
No, probably not a good idea.
No, especially not when it's Thea Trinidad. Why the hell are you waiting?
Well, Austin Aries has done a few things recently that kind of, you know, his head's not in the right spot.
Well, you know, he actually knows more people who died from the vaccine than from COVID itself, right?
He personally knows more people, everybody. Mm-hmm. So before you add him, just realize he's held people in his arms as they've died from the vaccine.
Yeah. And I just want you to know that Angel by Sarah McLachlan was playing the whole time, too.
The only thing I will criticize him on is the fact he didn't tell us which vaccine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Tell me what you want to avoid, Daniel.
Come on, Austin. Like, I'm coming to a carny for information and medical advice. Do I take the Moderna? Do I take the Johnson & Johnson? Or is it the Pfizer? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, at one point, Vampiro basically... some people would say the R word. I'm going to say Regal. Vampiro basically called Marty Regal.
Well, he called him creepy. He was talking about...
because, you know, Vampiro worked in security and whatnot, right?
Yeah. He was talking about what they call in Always Sunny the ocular pat-down.
Yes!
where he would...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Would profile Marty as, you know, a problem, a creep, you know, potential issue with the girls. And I think it's a situation where profiling is acceptable.
Oh, yeah. If you work in security, yeah.
Yeah. Marty does have that. I don't know who, if he always has played creepy characters, but whoever decided his character type in this show did a great job because he has the perfect face for it.
Exactly. At one point, Cage hit a discus clothesline on the Mac, and the Mac sold the shit out of it.
Dude, they both must like each other because they sold for each other like death. It was a good big man fight.
This is the prelude to the hypothetical Goldberg Big E match. You know, big meaty men slapping meat.
If that's what you like, this is it.
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, Aerostar actually gets the dub after he pinned Marty. So our three combatants so far, we have got Phoenix, if he can make it. We have got Jack Evans, and now we've got Aerostar that have won Aztec medallions.
Can you repeat them again?
Yes, I'm sorry if I broke up.
No, you didn't. I just tuned out like an idiot.
Yeah, because you are pretty dumb. Yeah. Phoenix, Jack Evans, and Aerostar. They have three of the seven Aztec medallions.
Phoenix, Jack Evans, and Aerostar. Okay. That's a good match.
This was actually Aerostar's second chance at a medallion because he's the one who lost. That was Arjenis. Never mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Pardon me. So... just general thoughts on the match, real quick. Letter grade on that?
On the match itself?
Yes, yeah.
Man, you know how I don't like too much indie-rific stuff. It was... I'll just tune out. Like, it's not that it's bad. Like, I will tell you it's great moves. But, yeah. Like, if there's no reason for it... If I know it's choreography...
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you go into a movie, all movies are fake. You know Star Wars is fake. But if the movie's entertaining, you forget that it's fake. If I'm watching something and it's like, okay, now he's doing this move, now he's doing that move, now he's doing the Spanish fly, now he's doing the Mexican destroyer. The only promotion that's ever really been able to make me like that kind of matchmaking has been NXT.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know? So I'm reluctant to give my grade on it because it would piss people off, but it would be a C. It's not my, like, it's not for me.
That's fair. Not honestly, like, not shaping up to be a great episode of Lucha Underground. Just, I guess, spoiler alert for what we give the show at the end of the episode. Anyway, after that, we had a vignette for the Trios Champions, and what's his name? Son of Havoc is, you know, putting up the dukes for Ivelisse, who's, you know, hitting the gloves, whatever. And Helico's doing his thing. And Helico points out the obvious. He says, hey, we're not on the same page. Ivelisse is like, yeah, we are. I'm the leader. It's like, no one thinks that. Like, you're crippled.
No one likes you. It's funny, though. I got to point out, Havoc was right, though. She has to keep her hands up.
Exactly. And doesn't, like, after he says that, doesn't she, like, punch him in the gut?
She does.
Yeah.
She's a heel. It's weird. It's a weird dynamic. She's still a heel.
Yeah, it really is, man. Katrina comes into the scene and says, God can't help you. Sooner or later, death will come to all three of you. Cue up shitty special effects, and oh my god, the skull luchadors show up.
I don't know if you've ever played Street Fighter EX.
No.
It was like when Street Fighter tried to be more like Tekken.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't like it. Well, I don't know if a lot of people didn't like it, but it didn't. They got to three iterations, but there was a guy called Skullomania
that was dressed just like these guys. If you, yeah, Google it when we're done recording. He looks, well, it's a little bit different costume, but if you saw him, you'd be like, hey, that's one of the, what are they called?
I don't know, Wrestlers of the Dead. I can't remember the name.
If you saw him, you'd be like, well, that guy fits in with those guys.
Yeah, I get you. God, why can I not remember those guys, that name right now?
Did I write it down? It's like, what did I write? I'm not going to be helpful. I said Jesse and the Rippers get stomped by the Skullomaniacs.
Skullomaniacs, I love it. Well, that's their name now.
And that was my dyslexia. I actually wrote down Skullomanias, but Skullomaniacs sounds better, so we're going to go with that.
I agree. The Skullomaniacs. All of a sudden, Mil Muertes is summoned and his eyes light up. He takes Katrina's hand and follows her. And in the background, we see the downed bodies of the trio's champions. So looks like maybe we've got our next title feud coming up.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. We'll Drago. Yeah, Drago comes out for the main event, which, by the way, Drago versus Mil Muertes, with the winner facing Prince Puma for the Lucha Underground Championship at Ultima Lucha. Anyway, Drago comes out to the ring. When he gets to the ring, he's attacked by Hernandez, who just beats the ever-loving shit out of him.
Yeah, this is another thing where it progresses a story along, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it makes Mil look weak doing that.
It kind of does, yeah. Like, Mil Muertes doesn't need the help. If I had my druthers, I would have had Hernandez show up after the match was over. But either way,
that would have been better, because that's kicking a man when he's down.
But Mil Muertes comes out, and Marty Elias is basically like begging Drago to forfeit the match. And Drago's like, nope, I'm ready to fight, or so he claimed anyway. Oh my God. As Mil Muertes is posing, the disrespectful Lucha Underground believers in the temple chant Mamacita at Katrina. How dare they?
That's not your wife. That's my wife.
Yeah, that's Greg's wife. Why would you say that? I wrote down, because Vampiro, of course, had to mention this. I said, shut the fuck up about Krav Maga.
Yeah, I got to Google that, man, because I really am calling bullshit on that, because I don't know. He says he rolled in the same gym as Jack. I don't know. I think it's a shitty thing to lie about doing a martial art.
It's like if I put in the group chat, I was like, because UCLA played, I know this will be dated by the time it comes out, UCLA played Gonzaga in the Final Four. And I'm like, shit, my buddy's brother got a double. And I know when I sent that, I'm like, that's a weird thing to lie about, but it sounds so oddly specific that I could be lying about it.
I won't hang on that for too long, but it does drive me crazy whenever I'm Googling it right now.
You know, I would like to think that Vampiro was doing Krav Maga when he was a security guard with Milli Vanilli, and he rolled on the mats with both Milli and Vanilli.
Let's see. Well, he has a profile on LinkedIn. This should be good. And it's him.
Ian Hodgkinson has a LinkedIn profile.
He's a certified life coach.
Oh, really?
On-screen talent agent director, director of talent, writer, producer, director.
Hey, did I tell you? I tell you what he should coach. You know what I'm saying?
He's a chef. He has a culinary arts degree.
Oh, my God. He's the next Guy Fieri.
He is an MMA conditioning specialization sports trainer. I don't know if I would trust him on that.
Well, I don't think I would go to Vampiro for conditioning.
Not for MMA training. That's question. He doesn't have any MMA experience. Certified personal fitness trainer. Is it super easy to get certification somewhere?
Apparently.
It must be, because he's a Muay Thai conditioning coach.
Maybe he gets his certs in Canada.
Who's Nesta? Who is this company giving him all these certs?
Who knows, man?
Personal fitness chef, professional personal trainer, underground strength coach. Underground strength coach?
A Lucha underground strength coach?
Just underground strength coach. He has a certified Krav Maga military police civilian instructor. Krav Maga and CrossFit. All right, I'm calling bullshit on this.
Yeah, this is like when me and Eddie reviewed Citizen, or not Citizen Toxie, but Toxic Avenger 2. And Phoebe Legere, who played the girlfriend of Toxie in the second and third one, we looked at her Wikipedia, and it was all oddly specific shit. It's like, okay, clearly she edited this.
Yeah, this is... He has something on here, but... Mm-hmm. This does not look...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, folks, this was a story match. Like, it was basically just Drago being outmanned and outgunned. Like, even if he was at full strength, he probably still doesn't win here.
Yeah, but we'll never know because they had Hernandez come out and stomp him a bit. Sorry, I'm still stuck on this Vampiro bullshit.
Dude, fine. Like, no, I get it. Like, Vampiro is like a habitual liar. Like, even Chris Jericho points it out. And Chris Jericho is a carny among carnies, so.
Yeah, if a carny calls you a liar, like, goddamn.
Exactly. It's like when my doctor, who, he's got some meat on the bone, would call me fat. It's like, oh, God, I really am.
Oh, my God, dude. I'm looking up Nesta.
Yeah.
It looks like it's basically, like, you know, the websites where you can become a priest.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like my God.
Universal Life Church or whatever.
Kind of like that. Like, it's popular training courses, and you just get accredited afterwards.
Oh, shoot. Nice, dude. Because, yeah, I'm actually ordained, so if anyone needs me to officiate a wedding, I will get the proper paperwork and everything sorted out.
Bro, I don't believe this fucking Krav Maga thing. That's kind of...
I don't do christenings, though.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't worry, it's all good. It's all good. Mil Muertes gets the win with an epic, 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 epic flatliner.
His flatliners always look great, but yeah. It the only critique I had about this match is at first they both seemed kind of awkward of each other. They couldn't really find their matching pace until Mil hit him with a tackle. I'm not going to call it a spear. I'm going to call it a tackle.
Yeah.
From that point on, though, they were on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't take a lot of notes because it's kind of the same kind of... And this isn't a critique. It's just kind of like you take Drago type of match and you mix it with a Mil Muertes. You take it, you mix it with a Mil match. I can't say words.
Muertes.
Yeah, you mix them together and this is what you would get. And it was a little awkward for those two things to mix at first. But once it happened, it happened. I mean, honestly, it's kind of forgettable because I do forget everything.
Yeah.
Not bad, though. I would have given that match a C.
I guess, yeah. Again, it was more of a story match because Drago came in, you know, bad wheel and all. Oh, after the match, Mil Muertes postures and then does what every man with a pulse would like to pulse and heterosexual tendencies would like to do. And he makes out with Katrina.
Yeah, as long as you haven't been sterilized like my co-host, it's something you would prefer to do.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that thought doesn't even get me half torqued anymore, so that kind of tells you where I'm at. Anyway, Mil and Katrina, they're posturing in the ring when all of a sudden Conan and Prince Puma, and I wrote down Conan and Puma because Conan was at the bottom of the steps, or the Conan led, whereas Puma followed.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. And we have a nice little pose down to end the show. So that's our preview for the main event of Ultima Lucha.
And I think we're still 7 or 8 weeks away.
Okay, so we are from the season finale. We are, let's see, that was 33. 5 more episodes between this and the finale.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot to do. We still got 4 Aztec medallions to crown.
The Aztec medallions are some of my favorite parts going forward.
Yeah.
They become the Aztec medallions. And this is going to sound like hyperbole, but it's really kind of my favorite mid-card belt. Just because of the mechanics that go involved in how you get the medallions.
Yeah, and what the belt, spoiler alert, they'll be put on a belt.
Should we? Do you want me to edit that out? I forgot we haven't.
It doesn't matter. No big deal, dude. I think a lot of 90% of people that listen to this know, maybe 10% don't, but whatever. It's a nice belt. Like, honestly, you should look up the belt, but don't look up the lineage because then it'll spoil it for you.
Yeah, the belt's fucking awesome looking.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Young Boy it was made fun of me for putting the belt over, but it's like, no, that belt's awesome.
No, we both did. It's a good belt.
Exactly, exactly. So, folks, that is actually the end of the episode.
I guess we got to rate the
episode. We can go into letter grades. Yeah, yeah. We can go into letter grades. I was not a big fan of this episode. This, honestly, probably the worst outing since Aztec Warfare. And or since before Aztec Warfare, rather. So I'm going to give this a C-.
I'm going to give it the same because it's kind of a nothing. But then even then, as a nothing match, it's or a nothing show, it's kind of like, you know, it's one of those things where if you watch it and you try to justify why you watched it, you're going to be reaching.
Yeah.
It's you can skip this episode just straight up.
No, you can skip that episode of Lucha Underground, but you need to listen to, I mean, of course, people are hearing this by the end of the episode, but you need to listen to our review of this episode, especially when we bury Ian Hodgkinson for his made up certs that he got.
Watch him be really good at Krav Maga, but I just, it's, if he's taking that shitty Krav Maga where it's just like, you know, keep hitting them until they're done kind of Krav Maga, then that's one thing. But if it's like real Krav Maga, where you're actually learning stuff.
Yeah.
Because some Krav Maga people are just.
I don't mean to be offensive, but Krav Maga, that's like the Jewish karate, right?
It comes from the Israeli military.
Okay.
And it's really just, it's just their military style of martial arts. And it's really not any main, it's kind of like ours. It's just things that work, that they like, and they put together. And then you can, and in their, and I could be wrong about this, but I think there was not a draft, but I think a lot of people have to, I think you have to do the military stuff.
I believe so, yes.
So you learn it, and then their police learn it too. And it is effective. But in the States, there's a lot of McDojo bullshit where, you know, people take something and, I mean, you'll see it in Brazilian jiu-jitsu where they're just doing drills. You don't really roll. It's basically becoming a kata because they don't roll. I don't know what Ian Hodgkinson did. You know, it's kind of hard. Like, I'm kind of starting to think, like, maybe it's true. Because you can't, it's really hard to lie all the time. But I don't know. It's hard to believe because I just don't see him being disciplined enough to learn a martial art.
You know, as much of a liar as he is, I bet Ian Hodgkinson doesn't even like metal. Like, I bet when he's at the gym, which he's probably rarely at the gym, but when he is at the gym, he's probably got some Ace of Base playing.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, because Ace of Base is perfect. But
dude, I fucking love Ace of Base.
He's probably listening to all kinds of fucking Deadmau5 and, I don't know,
Marshmallow.
Chainsmokers. Marshmallow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Avicii, he's wondering when he's going to start touring again. I don't know. We're going hard on him, but I'm starting to think he might actually know Krav Maga.
Man,
it's kind of a weird thing to lie about.
It is. It is.
It's so specific.
It is. Yes, it is. Oh man. So, folks, we thank you for listening. That is the episode. Check out all the other great shows on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. But remember, none of these are as great as we are. Hold on, uno segundo, senor.
They're so great, we have to look at a list to remember what they are. But they are great.
No, they're so great because there's 8 of them, and I can't remember them all off the top of my head, and I would like to do them in order, sir.
Mm-hmm. I just want to point out that I, of course, would have known them all off the top of my head because I think they're so great.
Yes. Well, no, they are great. But again, they're not us. That's all.
Yeah, if they're not us, I don't care, frankly.
Well, but you just you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, sir.
I've learned from the best on Lucha Underground.
That's fair enough. Yes, we have been indoctrinated by Ian Hodgkinson, so that's fair. Shit. Pardon my French. There we go.
Was Vampiro good in the day?
Bro, I never watched him.
Oh, really?
No. No. That's why, like, when I saw the, like, when I first got into the show, I was like, man, why do people love Vampiro so much? And, like, well, he was really good in Mexico. And I'm like, okay, cool. But I don't, I've never seen his stuff in Mexico. So, whatever. But anyway, folks, there are, like I said, there are seven other shows on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Starting off, we've got the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast that is hosted by Heel Josh number 2. That's right, Josh McLaughlin and Shooter Santos, Sandy Gaviria. That is Impact Wrestling and video game based. So if you like either of those things, that's the show to check out. If you like AEW, I do recommend All Things Elite, hosted by my boy, my homie Floyd Johnson Jr., and Austin Summerwitz. Of course, Grave Consequences, that's the one you're listening to right now. We've also got Great Match Generator, hosted by DJ Cooks. Him and a gaggle of friends talk about great matches from a generator, and they have a hoot while doing it. If you want independent wrestling-based content, you can listen to Grown Men Watch This Shit, hosted by James Vanderbeek on Twitter, Not
from Dawson's Creek.
Not from Dawson's Creek. No.
He's always on that boat.
No, we need to get... also, Pacey was one on the boat. But James Vanderbeek, and he does the Photoshop gimmicks on Twitter. And Chris Things, of course. If you want something for your New Japan fix, I want you to go out there and listen to Keeping It Strong Style, hosted by our boss, Jeremy Donovan. And the young boy, Heel Josh number 1, Josh Smith. The original show here on the network, the first show on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, One Nation Radio, hosted by Rich Latta and James Boyd. They talk to WWE, they talk AEW, they talk a little bit of stardom, they talk politics, they talk sports, they talk life in general. Definitely worth checking out. And if you want something that, you know, covers any of these things I previously mentioned, with an international flair, I want you to check out Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show. That's two Scottish podcasters here on the network. Two great guys. I actually intend to have one, if not both of them, on the HeroCast at some point in time. But, you know, check out that show. They have interesting takes on things, for sure. Of course, all these shows are on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. You can search for the solo feeds, or you can search for the main channel, Social Suplex Podcast Network, wherever you download your podcast. One more thing. Every Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite, Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast drops. That we review hero movies, and we're doing it in chronological order. We just recorded our Spider-Man episode. That should drop, I think, I want to say the end of April, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe April 21st. But, you know, that was a hoot. Yeah.
April 21st. Wow, you must have saved a few episodes.
Yeah, we've built up a bank on that for sure. And that's the thing. I like to do it because, you know, in case life happens, you know, and for some reason one of us doesn't have to record, we, you know, build that bank up and, you know, not be reliant on, okay, we are absolutely, like, we have to record on this date. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But things happen. But anyway, folks, check out all of those shows. It will be greatly appreciated. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. If you don't, you will suffer grave consequences.
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.